name is Peaches, and I'm the best. All the DJs want to feel my breast.
Hiccup. And that was pretty good.
What's up, everybody?
Hey.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Cocktails. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy motherfucking New Year.
Happy 2019.
2018, fuck you, fuck off, is 2019 right now.
Yes, it is. How was your New Year's?
It was good. I went to Old Temecula with some of my friends.
Okay.
And we drank and partied. And then we went to Denny's. And then I went home. Like, so it was a good.
Always a good New Year's when you end up at Denny's.
At Denny's, yeah. And I even had leftovers the next morning.
Okay. Like, well, ladies and gentlemen, it is 2019. I am Jason.
And I'm Zenobia.
And this is a podcast where we pair amazing movies with amazing cocktails.
Yeah, I was going to let you do it.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, my God.
Yes. And
I apologize in advance. I am fighting a virus of some sort. If you can't tell, I got my sexy, phlegmy voice tonight. I'm going to try and keep the coughing and sneezing to a minimum. We're suffering for you guys.
Yeah. And thank you for giving us the week off, you guys. We really needed it.
Yeah, we really did. Clearly. You ever notice, like, once you... I was talking about this with Ashley, but like when you're working and you're constantly working, all of a sudden you get a break, you have a tendency of getting sick. As soon as like you give your body some rest, it's like, damn, I've been waiting for this shit. What's that? Oh, that's the stuff that you meant to drop.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Fucking shit up already.
Ain't shit changed from 2018. Zenobia is still dropping shit.
I didn't spill anything, so...
That's because we haven't started making the drink yet.
That's okay. I was trying to get it ready.
Okay. What are we drinking?
We are drinking a Blue Train. Let me tell you what's in this.
All right.
Cocktail. So what we gonna do is... We gonna do 1.5 parts gin.
1.5 parts gin.
Yes.
Got you.
Okay. So then you do 1 part Blue Curacao.
Blue Curacao. Okay.
Hold on. And then you do 1/2 part lemon juice.
1/2 part lemon juice. Okay. I like that.
Okay.
That looks good. You know what it looks like? You remember those blue raspberry blow pops from the ice cream man when you were a kid?
Well, let's see.
I'm hoping it tastes something like that.
Let's see. You ready? Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I haven't seen you.
I know.
I'll take it. I can drink that.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. I can taste that lemon. Ooh, kind of gets you back here.
Mm. All right, so you want to hear some herstory?
Oh, yeah. On what? On lemon juice?
No.
On gin? Have we had a gin drink yet?
Yeah, we've had gin drinks. I think we've talked about gin. Dang, it's so much, you guys. I got to go back through my notebooks, but...
Okay, what are you giving us a history lesson on today?
I'm about to give you a history lesson on Blue Curacao.
Oh, okay.
Because we have used it before, but we have not talked about it. So, this is an orange liqueur dyed blue. Did you know that?
No.
It is, so, what we're tasting is orange, and they just put a dye in it.
Bitches.
Yeah, and it doesn't influence any of the flavoring.
Fucking with my taste buds. Just to make it look nice.
Yes.
That's all they did.
Yes.
Because they wanted to separate from other citrus drinks.
So if you just taste it and you close, like if you close your eyes and I gave it to you.
It just tastes like tangerine-ish.
Yeah. Okay. So around the 1920s, the senior chorus Curacao. Is that my saying it right?
I mean, the Spanish in me wants to say Curacao.
No. All right. Well, whatever it is. Y'all know what it is.
I'm going to call it Curacao from now on. That's all there is to it.
The senior Curacao.
First accent of the new year.
Oh, yeah. Take a drink. So the senior Curacao of Curacao.
Jesus. Can I just do a reverb of you fucking up words?
Yeah, I would actually like that. It'd be pretty funny. Some of them I probably don't even realize I fucked up. You'd be like, you did not say that right. Okay, no. So they're the genius behind the Blue Curacao. I'm done saying that.
You're so insecure about it.
Yeah, I am now. And they've been distilling orange liqueur since 1896. Okay. So they're believed to be the first ones to add the blue to it to add it all flavor. Because they live in this island.
So they wanted it to be
Curaçao.
Oh, okay.
That's where this distillery is.
Oh, okay. That changes it. Then yes.
So I'm thinking of them.
Curaçao. That's how they pronounce Curaçao. It. Or at least that's how we're going for.
Yep. So in the 60s, when tiki bars popped up all around America, drinks like the Blue Hawaiian, they were big hits.
Gotcha.
Okay. So then in the 70s and the 80s, sweet and like showy cocktails became popular. And that's where because of that time period, every good bar has this.
So yeah, it was in high demand.
High demand. And you've seen it in a bunch
business
of your drinks.
Was a booming.
A bunch of your drinks. So that's a little history.
On the Blue Curaçao.
Yes.
So. All right. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. What movie are we doing today?
We're doing Money Train. You picked that one. The train's coming
down. I don't know if that's Shaggy's song or not, but I thought I heard him in there in the end credits when they're singing it, the whole thing.
You just wish it was Shaggy.
It sounds like him. He's just like, all right then. Shaggy!
Yeah. So you want to hear the stats on this movie?
Oh, God. Do I want to hear the stats on this movie?
I don't know. So, okay. So this movie
Let me see it.
This movie came out November 22nd, 1995.
Thanksgiving movie.
Yes. And its budget was $68 million, mm-hmm. which in today's money is $111 million.
Damn.
And so
that's a big budget.
It made $77.2 million, and in today's money would be like $127 million.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
So that's not what I see.
That's what... What'd you see?
I see...
It wasn't 68 million and it made 70.2 million?
No, I see opening weekend doing 10 million and gross worldwide at 35 million. I see it as losing money.
Whoa, then yeah, I don't know. I put it in. That's what I found.
Damn.
It didn't make as much money.
IMDb fucking up.
They fucking us up. So,
but ultimately, yeah, it didn't do great.
It cost a lot and it didn't do great.
How much do you think that money went to Wesley and Woody?
I don't know. Well, I don't know because I learned a lot about this movie and it spent a lot of money to make it.
Uh-huh.
So it's probably little because they weren't like as big as, I mean, they were big, but I mean, like now they're like legends. Like they can
have
whatever they want. This is when they were like in the upswing of their career becoming like fucking, he hasn't even done Blade yet.
That's true. But, I mean, they did...
But they did do White Man Can't Jump.
Dude, they did do White Man Can't Jump. Wesley already did New Jack City. Yep. Woody already did Cheers.
Yep.
You know, they were well established. They could have asked for 10 to 20 mil, and they probably could have gotten it.
Okay. Well, okay.
I don't know.
So, since it is 2019, we're going to try something a little new.
All right.
We are going to give you a little summary of this movie for people who have not seen...
That's true.
...this movie.
You want me to take the raisins?
I do want you to.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me get my...
I'm going to get my little cookie here.
Adjust my voice. So, this was my pick specifically because it is set from Christmas to New Year's Eve into, I guess, New Year's morning, like 2, 3 a.m., I guess. Mm-hmm. But this Money Train came out in 95. It's a story of two brothers. They are not blood related. They are foster brothers. They both grew up in the system. They were raised by the same foster parent, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up to be cops. One of them is very straight and honest and responsible, handles his business.
What's
the other one is, quote unquote, a fuck up.
What do you hear?
And so, yeah, exactly. So Wesley Snipes plays John Hook. I like that name, John Hook, because he's a fighter, throwing hooks and shit. Woody Harrelson plays his brother Charlie Robinson. So they still have different last names, but he's constantly cleaning up after him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting him out of scrapes, saving his ass, Charlie's a degenerate gambler, this, that, and the other. They work as transit cops, undercover cops, stopping people from robbing and committing crimes down in the subway stations.
Of New York City.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're good cops. They're the best at what they do. But Robert Blake plays Patterson, chief of, you know, the subway transit police or something. I don't know. Yeah, he's in charge of the AKA money train, which is the revenue train. It's the train that picks up all the money from all the stops.
You know, I never even thought about that. And so it's just
loaded down with cash.
It's the armor truck.
Yeah.
Armored truck of trains.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody rides it. It's nothing but, you know, trained SWAT officers. Yep.
Just,
you know,
like an armored truck.
Yeah, you know? It's an armored truck, but it's a train. It's like a fucking tank. Truck. And it looks like it, too. They made that train to look mean.
Yeah.
And so they continually have run-ins with Robert Blake because he's just an outright asshole. He doesn't give a shit about anything but money.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, am I spoiling the whole movie?
No, I mean, you're supposed to give a brief synopsis, but and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, J-Lo.
She is a transit cop that has transferred to their unit, yes, and she falls for it.
Yeah, the brothers kind of fight over her for a minute.
Can I give you one more thing I forgot to tell you about the stats?
What's that?
We forgot to talk about Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, shit. Do we have to?
If you don't want to, I'll skip it.
No, I mean, tell me. Okay. I'm just...
So
I see your face.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave it 22%.
Motherfuckers.
And the audience gave it 29%.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. This is a great movie.
So I wrote that down like, shit, Jason's going to be pissed.
I'm a little upset. But it's okay. You know, not every movie gets a good review.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them that are great movies, you know, are don't make money.
Can I give you the completely made up drinking game?
Yes, I'm in the mood for some fun.
All right. This game is completely made up by me because there was not one for this movie.
As per usual. When's the last time that there actually was a drinking game to go with our movies?
There was a Die Hard one, but I just made it up myself.
That's messed up. Why you do that?
Because I'm
getting... It wasn't a good enough one?
Yeah. I was getting a flair for it, you know? Sometimes if I watch the movie enough, I'm like, oh, they do that a lot. They do that a lot.
Okay.
But I don't know.
You got to go with them every once in a while.
Once in a while. Maybe next week.
Once in a while, somebody will come out with one, and it'll be great. All right. Hit me with the drinking game.
So, in the drinking game, you take one drink when someone says, money train.
Nothing stops the money train.
Whatever happened to that money train model that was on your desk?
Yeah, man. You know what? I looked down and it wasn't there. That's heartbroken.
Heartbroken. I don't think it's money train, but he's definitely train. When they do, you're not going to hit him, I'm going to hit him.
Yeah.
You ain't going to hit him. Why not? Because I'm going to hit him.
You're not going to hit him.
Why not?
Because I'm going to hit him.
Their little dance.
Their little bit.
Okay.
So you do it there. They do it a couple times. So
that's a good one.
You take a drink when the guys fight over money. Which they do a lot.
Uh-huh.
You take one drink when Charlie thinks he's black or talks about his people, which is Woody Harrelson. So anytime he says some black line, like, yeah, I've been watching Yo MTV Raps or whatever.
Trying to get in touch with my people.
With my people.
Say it loud.
I'm black and I'm proud. And you're looking.
So yeah, you take a drink when he does that. You take a drink when Charlie loses money.
Ah.
Which happens.
This fool loses a lot of money.
Yep. You take a drink when Grace hits someone.
Yeah.
And she does that.
Dude, she throws a nice little hook.
Mm-hmm. And I'm even counting their little boxing scene.
Oh, yeah, that counts. So, yes. She catches him like 3 or 4 times in that match. If you guys haven't seen this movie, Wesley Snipes and Jennifer Lopez put on the gloves.
Yeah.
And then they take them off.
Then they take everything off.
Yeah, they do.
You see J-Lo's boobie.
Yeah, you see some titties. Yeah.
So you take a drink when anybody drinks. And they hang out at a bar.
Oh, yeah. Let me get a shot of Jack. Let me get 2 beers. Let me get a couple cervezas.
And he's like, you're cut off. all that shit.
Oh, that's right.
So you take a drink when someone plays drunk, not when they're really drunk.
Uh-huh.
But when they're playing, he's like, hey, okay, show me that drunk man shuffle.
Let me get that drunk man walk going. Like,
ooh, yeah. And then you take a drink when a train goes by.
Fuck.
There's one right now.
God. Train is constantly going by.
Train is coming down.
Train is coming down.
Okay, so you finish your drink when the lady gets set on fire.
I gave you the money.
I'm not in it for the money.
Okay.
And then you finish your drink.
How about it when somebody gets set on fire? Because she's not the only one that catches on fire in this movie.
Well, then we'll have numerous done drinks. Like, do you want them to kill their drinks? So anytime.
Fuck yeah.
All right, Jason lawyered it up. And so.
Lawyered.
You you finish your drink anytime someone catches on fire. It's only twice. You're right.
It's only twice.
You
can handle two drinks, people.
Finish your drink when Donald Patterson gets hit.
Yeah.
Boom.
Guess what's coming to him.
You got anything else you want to add? Other than your
drink when you see titties? I don't know.
And drink when you see titties.
Not just J-Lo's. There's other titties in this movie.
Oh, male titties too?
Sure, male titties.
And male titties. I like that.
There's a couple of... There's more than just his and her titties in here too. Because there's another scene where there's some titties.
Titties. All right.
95 formula. Sell them titties.
So what you got?
This movie, directed by Mr. Joseph Rubin.
Yep, yep, yep.
Joseph Rubin, I think he got in trouble for this movie with the studios.
Why?
Well, because I think that it didn't do very well. And therefore, they didn't give him a whole lot of money afterwards.
So can I give you a little bit about this movie?
Yeah, go for it.
About why I think that it didn't make money.
Okay.
All right, so crazy thing. 2 days after the movie opened, two men poured gas over a ticket booth on the Brooklyn subway, and they set this person on fire.
Whoa.
And it was eerily similar to the scene that's in the movie that we were just previously talking about.
Get the fuck out of here.
And the attendant was burned and later died of their injuries. And the New York City subway workers, they called for a boycott for the movie. They were like, I want you to remove all the motherfucking posters, and, you know, and I don't want anybody to go see it. But the company was just like, I'm not going to do that. We've spent so much money on this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not their fault that two fucking numbnuts thought that it was a good idea to light somebody on fire.
Yeah. You can't, I mean, I don't want to laugh because that is like tragic.
No, it's completely fucked up.
Like this person's just doing their fucking job.
Dark Knight Rises when the fucking idiot walked into the,
into the movie theater
with assault rifle or whatever he had and started shooting up the place.
Yeah.
You know, has nothing to do with the movie. It has to do with the person's psychiatric incapability.
And this is in 95.
Dude is fucked in the head and he wanted to do something. He just happened to choose that movie to inspire him.
And this was in 95.
Yeah.
So it was not like, you know, shit goes viral. They had
mental illness is not a new thing.
Yeah, no. Of course not. And so another thing that I think why is because I think this movie cost too much money.
68 mil is a lot, but I mean, it's not crazy.
Okay.
You know what? That is a healthy budget for a movie in 95.
Okay.
It's not like top tier movie at all.
I get that. But they had 12 New York City subway cars that they had shipped to LA. So that set, when they're all on the train and everything, it's here in LA.
Okay.
And they crafted this fucking place, and it is like huge. It is like one of the biggest sets ever. And so they like had, they made the trains into propane so that people wouldn't be electrocuted for the rails.
I got you.
While they're filming.
Uh-huh.
And they had the largest, like I said, one of the largest sets made for a movie. It was over 3,000 feet long and 20 feet high.
Damn.
And it had four like railroads tracks wide.
Okay.
So like that is if you took two Empire State Buildings and you laid them side by side.
Empire State Building. Okay.
And that's the size of this set.
Damn.
So that's why I'm like, you spent a lot of fucking money. Yeah. To do this. It's a
big budget movie.
Yeah.
And I mean,
and then you got to pay Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Not necessarily Jennifer Lopez.
Well, no.
Yet.
Not yet. If this was like 10 years
later, yeah.
Later, then yeah, you'd have to pay her some good stuff.
But give up the money.
Because she is the... I'll just wait. Go ahead.
You want to start? Let's talk about her.
She is the highest paid Latin actress in the world.
Word.
Damn. Yeah. Jay Lolo.
Before we get to her, I guess we should talk about Mr. Joseph Rubin a little bit.
I couldn't find because shit on him.
There isn't a lot about him. That's there's really not. He doesn't have a whole lot of presence online.
Mm-mm.
But Money Train is definitely his biggest movie. Before that, he did do The Good Son.
Which we will definitely do.
Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin.
One of my fucking favorites.
Creeps me out.
Yes.
Creepy ass movie. Strangely enough, he continues to make movies. He's done a few after this. Not a lot of them. And he doesn't supplement by working in TV or anything like that. He just makes movies that he wants to make.
I mean, he made Blindside.
Yeah, he did Blindsided. In 2013 with Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
And that... Oh, no, sorry. That's The Forgotten.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, The Forgotten was Julianne Moore's movie. Blindsided was Michelle Monaghan and Michael Keaton.
Right.
And then he did another movie with Josh Hartnett afterwards.
He did Sleeping with the Enemy in 91.
There you go.
So, he has some movies out
He's got there. Some movies. Mm-hmm. They're not huge blockbusters, but they're good movies.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to try and be Steven Spielberg or Michael Bay. He wants to make the movies that he wants to make.
And that's perfectly fine. You know,
he's got three movies right now that are in development. Sorry, one's in post, two are in development. So he's still doing his thing. He's 68 years old. Good ups to you, Mr. Joseph Rubin.
Rubin.
But yeah, I did want to talk about Miss Jennifer Lopez because this is technically her first movie.
Hi, how you guys doing? Nice to meet you.
This is her first big studio movie.
Yeah, well, she did two movies this year in 95.
I know she did, but I don't feel like the other one's a big movie.
It was a big movie.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't see it until it was... We're talking about...
My Family.
My Family.
Mi Familia, whatever you want to call
That's
it.
That's what I was
going to Huge
call.
Movie for Latin culture.
It literally has everybody in it. And she does everybody. A really good job.
She does a great job.
Does she play the younger mom?
She plays the younger mom before... Yeah, because the movie fast forwards 20 years or something like that.
It shows the whole familia.
Yeah, so she plays the matriarch of the family when she's younger.
Yeah.
And her Spanish is on point. Her acting is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this movie a number of times, and I'm still a big fan of it.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's got everybody in this. Jimmy Smits is in there. Edward James almost.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good movie and a good story. But this is the first one where she had big stars that were Hollywood. And not that,
sure.
Not that the people you just named are not fucking big stars.
Uh-huh.
But just,
this is more of a blockbuster, that was more of an art house movie.
Yeah, especially it dropping in November.
Uh-huh.
And so this is her first big one.
Yeah.
And she said she went in four times for this before she got the job.
That's not much.
And she said she didn't think that she got it, and she was on her way home to New York from L.A., and she checked her answer machine. They were like, hi, this is Wardrobe from Money Train. We need you to come in and get fitted. She's like, fuck yeah. So she was super excited because before this, she was a fly girl on In Living Color.
Yes,
dancing.
She was.
She was primary.
Ladies
dancer.
And gentlemen, my fly girl, Jennifer Lopez.
And she was a backup dancer for Janet Jackson.
Uh-huh.
You could see her in That's the Way Love
That's
Goes.
The Way Love Goes.
Ooh. She's in that video. You can see her in the background.
Uh-huh.
That's the way love goes. So she was doing her fucking shit.
Mm-hmm. I got friends that are background in music videos right now. Should I have auditioned for music videos? Mm-hmm. My friend Alyssa was just in Ariana Grande's new music video.
Please don't say the name because I hate that song and it gets stuck in my head.
I don't even know what the hell the name of the song
name
is.
That shall not, song that shall not be named.
The song that shall not be named. But the point of the story is people that are in music videos end up becoming J-Lo and Mekhi Phifer and Jason Vello. And
You're like that fat girl in the back eating? That was me. Ooh, I made him joke.
What? He's stupid.
I have to laugh to keep from crying.
Oh my God.
Do you want to know who auditioned for this?
No. Okay. First and foremost, you are not fat. Don't you say that about my sister.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to your sister. So.
To you? Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. I actually do want to know who auditioned for this.
Okay. Cameron Diaz.
Because she got a Spanish last name? Or was the role ethnically ambiguous? They didn't really care.
It might have been ambiguous.
I hope so.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay. I can see her playing this. However.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No. Did Chicago come out before this?
Chicago came out in like 2002 or 3.
Okay.
So yeah. So this is long before that.
What about
Zorro? Probably Zorro was just about to come out
around this time.
Yeah. Okay. She's still fucking hot. I mean, she's still hot.
She's amazingly gorgeous. Yeah.
So they all auditioned for Grace Santiago.
Santiago.
Douchebag.
Uh-huh. Are they lucky having you as a partner?
Yeah, I was like, what is he asking? Are you fucking one of them? Is that what he's asking?
Basically.
Are they getting lucky?
He's getting off on being an asshole to anybody near me. He's on a power trip. He's got this, they even say it in the movie, he's got this Napoleonic complex.
That's because he's 5'4".
Robert Blake is 5'4". Yes, he is. Before we jump on to Robert Blake and the rest of the cast, what's your favorite J-Lo movie?
Salinas aquí. Salinas aquí. And she goes running. Of course. That's not even... Or do I have to do another one?
Because I mean, you don't have to, but you can throw it out there.
Monster-in-Law?
That's with... what's her name?
Jane Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
I've never seen that one.
That's funny.
Okay.
And Wanda Sykes is in it.
Okay.
Okay.
I got you. I do like Selena. I would say another one that I really enjoy is... with her husband or her ex-husband, Mark Anthony. What is it called? Encantante?
Isn't that the song?
It's a movie.
Isn't that the song they sing?
Yeah, it's a song also, but it's a movie about a Latin singer whose name escapes me at the moment.
Okay.
But, dude, Mark Anthony does a great job in there. And so
I do like Mark Anthony.
Jennifer Lopez.
He's a good actor.
I like him. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say...
I remember seeing him long early on in a movie that was Stanley Tucci's first movie.
What?
Yeah, they play chefs at a restaurant. One of the best scenes that I've ever watched. It's so simple and such a great scene. Nobody says a fucking word. All they do is Stanley Tucci... This is after a night of like... utter chaos, and the next morning Stanley Tucci's in the kitchen and he's making scrambled eggs and just bolillo bread.
Okay.
And Mark Anthony comes in, doesn't apologize, nobody says anything to each other, he simply makes eggs and cuts the bread and they have breakfast together. But you watch him make these eggs the way a chef would make some eggs. Mm. And it's just simple scrambled eggs and it's fucking beautiful. It's art. You watch a chef make scrambled eggs, it's art.
I also like Jack.
Oh yeah, she is in that. She plays the teacher, right?
Yep.
I got you.
And I just saw Second Act, like last week or whatever. That's her new one that's out.
Did you see it?
I did.
Did you like it?
I'm going to say that it was better than... I went in thinking it was going to be like really lame.
Okay.
But it was better than
better than expected.
Yeah. I mean, I
can't... I see... I like Milo Ventimiglia, who plays her husband or spouse or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think he's great.
He doesn't have a huge part in it, but no. I was more excited that Leah Remini was in it. I love her. That's her best friend, and then she's like...
Okay.
Hilarious. She's the comic relief in it.
I got you. So, now, compared to Made in Manhattan, what's the difference?
It wasn't like some rich guy
saving her ass.
It was her. She had a job at this grocery store and she wasn't moving up and they just were passing her by. And so she had her friend's son make her a resume that made her seem like she was the most amazing shit in the world and that she had a Facebook and Instagram and did it. And she climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, whatever the fuck, you know, all this random shit. And then she goes into this corporate office and they're like, we want you. And she actually kind of, she knows what she's talking about because she's worked in retail for, you know, decades.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good. I liked it. Okay. It was good. Better than I thought it was going to be. It was good.
My last performance of hers that I really enjoyed that I want to talk about.
Ants.
No.
I liked Ants.
Okay. She does a guest star on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah. She's the girl.
She's that, the secret of no or whatever no, it is.
And like, Barney just wants her.
Exactly. And then they flip the script on her and then all of a sudden... So, like, she writes a book about saying no to everything, and that's how she gets what she wants. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, they realize that she's a creator of the book. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to flip that shit on you. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, she's, like, giving it away. She's like, what do you mean no? Nobody tells me no.
No one tells me no.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll do this, this, and this with you if you just have a drink with
J-Lo
me.
Who tells J-Lo no? I wouldn't tell her no.
Fucking nobody. Nobody tells J-Lo no, clearly.
I also love her on Will and Grace.
She's on Will and Grace?
She has a couple episodes. She Ooh. Is J-Lo. Like, she's not
someone Oh, okay. Else. She plays herself.
But her...
But like an exaggerated version, I'm sure.
Well, she dances at Karen's wedding reception, and one of her dancers gets hurt, and Jack ends up taking the dancer's spot because he's like, I know.
Just Jack.
Yeah, just Jack. He does all of the moves, boom, boom, boom. And he ends up going, like, on tour with her and stuff, but she comes back a couple episodes.
That's funny.
Yeah, I love that one.
Okay, let's talk about this asshole of a man. Mm-hmm. Robert Blake. What do you want to say?
I want you to just start, and when we get to the 2000s, I'll go.
All right. Robert Blake. Strangely enough, there's a couple of degrees of separation with this man because, one, I have taken a workshop with his son,
okay,
Noah Blake. My agent happens to be a good friend of his and, like, calls him for, like, consulting and lawyer advice and stuff like that. Mm. Ashley's mentor, set decorator, Darren, is also a very good friend of his. Mm. I have talked to both of them about Mr. Robert Blake. Dude is crazy, you know.
I mean, he's been in the business when it was...
For fucking ever.
Back in the day, before there was TV, this fool was in the business.
Yes.
Making short movies.
Uh-huh.
Which were called Our Gang.
Yeah.
Which... Really, aka is the Little Rascals.
It is the Little Rascals.
Yeah, so this Absolutely. Went on from like 1922 to like 1944. And these short movies were like played in like, you know, like movie theaters.
Uh-huh.
So like you go into a Nickelodeon, is what they're called.
They're called Nickelodeons, exactly.
You go into them and you sit down and you watch movie clips and they would show you like little Three Stooges kind of shit. They would show you news clips. They would show you what's happening all over, you know. And then they would have like little, like you go on Saturdays and it'd be like Kid Day. You go and they'd have kid stuff. So
can I tell you a show that he was on that you'll find funny?
Oh, Lord.
Because we were talking about it last week. Or not last week, but 2 weeks ago. But, what did we drink last week?
He was on the Roy Rogers Show?
He was on the Roy Rogers Show.
That's funny. That's really funny.
That's how old this man is.
He is super old.
He is 85.
It's like if you went to the movie theaters and just watched YouTube clips.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. So he's been acting since he was a little boy. You know, he's got a Golden Globe, but no Oscars, unfortunately. And, you know, there is some tabloids and situations. This man doesn't trust anybody anymore.
I don't blame
him. He's got like three friends that he calls, and I happen to know two of them, strangely enough. That's like, he calls people just to see if they'll still take his call. And he literally tells them that.
Just checking.
Yeah, exactly. So for those of you who don't know, Robert Blake, lifelong actor, was a suspect
I'm gonna tell you because I am a big, this is for my murderinos out there.
There you go. Take the reins. I'm gonna give it to you.
So
I'll throw in here and there where
I feel like Robert Blake is a OJ that did not get treated like OJ. Because in 2001, Blake's wife, Bonnie Lee Baker, was shot in the head and killed while she was sitting in her car waiting for him to come out of a restaurant that they had just left. Mm-hmm. And while she was sitting there waiting, he went back into the restaurant to retrieve his forgotten gun. And when he comes out, he finds his wife shot in the head.
Motherfucker had a gun.
Nobody saw him go inside. Like, nobody, there's no witnesses, there's like any of the shit. So he comes out and then he's like, oh shit, the shit's going down. My wife, she's shot. And she dies. And he gets arrested and acquitted for his wife's murder. And the jury was only out for like 13 days for this thing. And they found him not guilty in 2005. Uh-huh. But there was a civil suit in 2005 after the trial. And he was found liable for her death. So he was ordered to pay like $30 million to Bonnie Lee's family. Mm-hmm. And
however, he gave, I don't know how much, but he gave like as much money as he could to his kids so that they couldn't take it. That's pretty and scary. His kids never gave it back.
I mean, and if you ask me personally, looking at the evidence, basically he's a white rich man with money who got off with murdering his wife.
Well,
sorry.
I will say this. The two people that I know who know him personally and are close to him, one of them believes, they both believe that he didn't pull the trigger.
I don't believe he did either. It was his bodyguard.
One of them believes that he had somebody do it. Mm-hmm. One of them does not believe that he did it at all.
I believe he's an OJ that did it and had enough money to get away with it.
You think OJ did it?
Yes.
OJ did it.
OJ did it. And all you black people can yell at me. I don't give a shit. I am a murderino who watches and reads articles on murder cases, these big ones, all the time. So
I'm just hearing Eddie in my head from Barbershop.
Yeah. Damn you, Cedric.
OJ did it.
So, yeah. So, every time I see this little dickbag's, like, fucking face on screen,
hey,
that's all I'm thinking about. He
plays an asshole like none other in this movie. You want to fucking knock his ass out. Like, and he's straight out of his mind the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, they even say in the movie, like, does he ever sleep? And the dude responds, like,
yeah. During the day, in a coffin.
Oh, we're going to definitely hear
damn,
that.
Military is, like, right over our house.
Ghetto birds.
I don't think that was... Nah, that was too big to be a ghetto bird. And you see how fast it went
it
by?
It did go by fast.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Transporting explosives.
I was just about to say that. Okay, so I'm going to make another one. You got anything else on Robert?
You going to make another one?
Yeah.
I'm going to work on this one. Okay. Shoot. I can't do too much.
That's you.
The future mother-in-law and Miss Smashley are on their way back to the house.
That's why you need to get this in before she gets back here.
How's it going to look? Ashley and Fanny walk through the door and I'm just laughing and drunk off my ass. Hey!
You never look sloppy drunk.
Drink up. Be merry.
You're never sloppy drunk, so I don't know.
I'm not a sloppy drunk. I love everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I love everybody.
I'm going to be tipsy when she comes in here.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about Mr. Chris Cooper. You know who that is?
Is he the flame dude?
He's the, yes, he is the arsonist. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The torch.
Yeah. The dude that is robbing the subway station. Not the money train, but robbing subway clerks. And what he does is he clearly had some kind of situation where he got burned because his hands are all fucked up.
Yeah.
And he has, he's got this contraption around his belt that squirts out lighter fluid or oil or kerosene or something.
Yep.
And so he sneakily sneaks that into the little hatch where you're supposed to pass your money along to the teller.
A little hose.
Yeah, and he's fucking creepy as shit. Like, he even tells women, like, can I ask you a question?
You know what it's like to smell your own flesh burning?
She's like, what? What
the fuck are you talking about? And then all of a sudden he fucking douses her in lighter fluid and shit. Lights the match with his finger. He's like, hand out the cash, bitch, or I'll light you up.
I mean, I'm more of a person that would, like, after he still squirts her after she gives him the money. Uh-huh. She falls down on the ground, and she's like, I gave you the money. And he's like, I don't care about the money.
He's not in it for the money. He's in it for the thrill of just burning somebody.
I'm about to fucking bum rush this dude, and we both catch it on fire.
He's a fucking pyro, big time.
Yes.
But I'm sure, like, you think about that shit, these fools aren't stupid, they're just crazy. So they pick out people that they know are not gonna fight back, mentally or verbally or physically.
Okay.
They find the tellers with the weakest backbone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even when J-Lo, like, goes undercover, he clearly sees that she's the undercover cop.
Yeah.
That's why he creates a diversion before he comes over there. He knows that he's being watched, but he doesn't give a shit.
So, like, why would you even have her be the teller? That's what I kept watching. I was like, why would you? There's some holes that's in why this story. I don't want to, like, bash it.
That's why it got 22.
That's what I'm going to say. Rating. Because I like this movie. Because I like the chemistry between the characters. But this movie,
it has a little couple of,
there's something missed.
Holes here and
it's
there.
It's holes. Some of the pacing's a little off. Like, I just,
barely. But I've seen much worse get much higher worse ratings.
I totally agree. I'm not dogging this movie because I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I did. But I had to watch it a couple times to make sure that I knew what was going on.
I agree.
So, yeah.
I got you.
I mean, I would at least gave it a 30.
I've seen this thing when I was like 11, 12 years old. I've seen it when I was like 20 years old. I watched it now. And I continually like it. I continually enjoy it and appreciate mm-hmm. it. You know, I think the main cast, and it's not a big cast at all.
Nope.
You know, they did a great job. They worked off of each other. And clearly, we're not going to get into them yet, but Wesley and Woody have worked with each other a number of times on different movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got their banter and they're working off of each other locked down by this point.
And they're good friends in real life.
Exactly. But Chris Cooper is a creep in this movie. I should clarify that. He's
No.
I love him as an actor. I think he's fantastic. He does a great job in this movie. You see American Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
He plays the dad,
mm-hmm.
Who's like the homophobic military style dad that ends up shooting Kevin Spacey.
Right.
I think he does a great one in that. You know what my favorite movie of his is? Remember Me. Do you know that movie?
Remember Me.
Don't romanticize it. It
no, that was from Coco.
It's starring Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
Nope.
And a blonde girl that I have yet forgotten the name of.
Blonde girl.
He plays her dad. So it's a story leading up to the terrorist attacks of 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
The moral of the story is that what you do in this life will have very little significance, but it is very important that you do it.
Yeah.
And like everything that happens leads up to the day of 9/11, and because these things happen, certain lives are lost, certain lives are spared.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't see that, but I do know you're talking about. I do, probably my favorite thing is The Patriot.
Okay.
You remember he was in that?
Who was he?
He was Mel Gibson's friend.
He was. You're right. Yeah. I do like him in that movie.
I like
movie.
Him in that. And he's in Seabiscuit. I like that one.
I love Seabiscuit.
He's in the Bourne movies.
He is in the Bourne movies.
Yeah. So
he plays Conklin in the Bourne movies.
Yeah. He stays working. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great fucking actor. He's going to continue to work as long as he wants to.
A journeyman actor?
I would call him a journeyman actor, but I was avoiding saying it because I know that you're waiting for me to say that about people.
Yep.
He's
going to be in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Is he?
He is.
With Tom Hanks?
Yes.
Nice.
That's cool. Cool.
Okay. And he's got that voice, too. Yes. That voice that just commands attention.
Yeah.
You know, before I forget, I want to talk about Scott Sowers, plays Mr. Brown. I liked him. Mr. Brown, the bookie that Woody Harrelson owes money to.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. He's like, you can just drop him.
Yeah, yeah, you heard the man. He's got that voice. Bring him over here, I'll fucking cut him up myself.
Oh, dude.
He's got that New York
swag
to him, that accent to him. What are you doing? There's one fucking guy, kick his ass.
Come on, bitch, you want some meat?
That's pretty good.
I had a couple drinks, it gets me. Apparently it helps my accents.
I think it just makes you free enough to want to do accents.
Sure. I give myself permission. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I do pretty good. I don't know if he's still acting, but he's had some significant parts in some good-ass movies.
Okay.
Like he was in Blue Streak. He was in Under Siege. He's done some shit.
Right.
But he's usually these type of characters that progress the story along. Mm-hmm. He's not really the main guy.
But he's still making that money.
He's still making that money. Still cashing a check.
Dollar bill, y'all.
There's an Aaron Brockovich, too. You know?
Ooh, I like that.
That was a good movie. Yeah, absolutely. You know, how many sexual favors does she say that she had to do?
Oh, I think it was like 32.
No, it was way more. It was like in the hundreds.
Was it? Yeah. Oh.
She's like, how'd you get all these signatures? I walked door to door. 997 blowjobs.
Blowjobs?
I really am quite tired.
That's me trashy with my titties out.
Oh, my God. Okay. Her titties are out constantly in that movie.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You know?
I mean, not giving like 999 blowjobs. That's not me. I'm not that trashy. Okay.
So I had struggled a little bit with a couple of characters in this movie. Mm-hmm. I recognized them right off the bat. However, one of them, I don't know if I looked over it 5 times in a row, but Bill Nunn was not on IMDb for this movie. He plays the conductor.
Oh, Radio Raheem.
Radio Raheem, exactly.
He was at the end. He was like, he tried to kill us.
That's right, arrest his ass. That son of a bitch tried to kill us.
I was like scrolling up and down. I'm like, where the fuck is he? Because I know he's in there. I went all the way back to New Jack City just to find him on IMDb, just to see his list to make sure I wasn't crazy because I knew he was in this movie.
He is. Radio Raheem, man.
It could have been just my way my crazy mind works because eventually I went back to Money Train and I saw that he was on there. But Bill Nunn plays the conductor of the other train that Money Train is on the same track of.
So,
the train's going too fast. We're fucking dead. You hear that, command? Dead.
So at this point in the movie, what happens is that Woody Harrelson decides that he is going to rob the money train.
After they
have spent one night on the money train, he kind of figures out a way to rob it.
Uh-huh.
So he tells his brother Wesley Snipes about this. And Wesley Snipes.
I mean, they talk about it throughout the movie.
They do talk about it throughout the movie, but he's really like, you know, we could do it, you know, have it stop at the park and yeah. climb down and blah, blah, blah.
And it stems from Patterson being an asshole.
Being an asshole.
Because Wesley Snipes is the one that brings it up. He's like, you know what I'd like to do? He's like, what, kick his ass? No, I just like to take his little train away from him.
That's right. Take the pacifier right out the baby's mouth.
But Woody Harrelson's like, fuck yeah, let's do it. I'm let's on board. Do it. Like, he's serious about it.
So Woody Harrelson breaks in and he breaks onto the train, but his first plan does not work.
And yeah. And of course, Wesley Snipes in there. Relationship has My to go question. And try to save his ass.
So Woody gets all extra drunk and he's at the bar and he throws a bottle and then he goes to the bathroom. He gets beat up by the bookies.
Uh-huh.
The bookies are like, motherfucker, give us our motherfucking money.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to break your legs. And the bartender goes to Wesley Snipes' house and knocks on the door and is like, Charlie's in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go to the same bar for years. The bartenders know me, Rachel. They know my name. They know my drink. They have no clue where the fuck I live. How the hell is this bartender just knocking on this guy's door?
I don't know. I mean, it's suggested earlier in the movie that they know each other very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 1995. Back then, you didn't have cell phones. You know, you had people's addresses. You had people's phone numbers stored in your memory.
All right.
I'll or you had that. Those little booklets that you kept in your back pocket.
Okay, I'll give you that.
It was a different time. It was a different time. And it's New York.
I was like, how the fuck does this bartender know where Wesley Snipes lives? I want to know where Wesley Snipes lives.
A lot of people do. Hey, he lives in, you know.
He's only into Asian women, so.
Is he really?
Yeah, so you gotta watch out for Smashley.
Motherfucker. I don't care what you know. Shit. Wesley.
He would beat your ass. There's no way you could
fuck him. Hey, that's like Richard Pryor said, that's an ass whooping I gotta take.
You gonna have to take it, yeah. You gonna have to take a black belt fucking ass.
Hey, I'll put up my hands with Wesley. Shit. I ain't gonna make it easy on him.
So can I give you a fun fact?
Give me a fun fact.
I feel like I haven't said any. Right?
Okay.
Have I had any fun facts?
I'm waiting to see if you're mentioning the fun fact that I was thinking of. But maybe you don't know it.
Maybe I don't know. I like
what Hit me with it.
Okay. So when Wesley Snipes hits the cop at the beginning of the movie, after they shoot the kid and he dies at the beginning, you could see in the background there's a Die Hard 2 poster.
No shit.
Yes, on the wall.
Nice.
And the writer for Die Hard 2, which came out in 1990, by the way.
Uh-huh.
It's the same writer for Money Train.
Nice. Those are always fun.
So I thought since we were talking about Die Hard last week, that would be a funny little tie-in.
What was the movie that we did talk about that with? Was it The Shining?
What are you talking about?
It was The Shining.
You
remember when we were talking about The Shining? I know we never aired it because the audio got fucked up. But wasn't there a situation that Kubrick always had a movie poster or something about his first movie his other movies?
You are wrong. It's the, what is his name?
We had this conversation.
Coming to America.
Coming to America. That's what it was.
What's his name?
Who?
The director.
The director coming. I don't remember. That was weeks ago. I'm partying over here.
God, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm buzzed or else I would tell you his name.
But we've had a couple of drinks,
the director, and he directs, and it always says, see you next Tuesday.
That's what it was.
You remember?
Wait, is it Tuesday? It's John Landis.
John Landis.
John Landis always puts a movie
It's see you next Wednesday. See, that's where I fucked up.
It was like his first Tuesday movie or his first like short film or whatever
it was. And so like it's in the back of like Thriller. In Thriller, I finally found the part too, by the way.
In Thriller where the movie poster is?
So when they're in the movie theater.
Which is not on YouTube for the most part. It's like very hard to find the video where he's actually watching the movie and eating the popcorn.
I found it.
Good job.
Okay,
you
so
did some searching.
When he's in the movie theater and he's eating popcorn and she's like, I just want to get out of here. And she gets up and she leaves and he's like sitting there and he eats popcorn and then he hands the bucket over to the person next to him and he gets up. When he gets,
which, by the way, who does that?
It's Michael Jackson. I take Michael Jackson's popcorn.
She is.
So he gets up and as he's getting up, something like the movie says, there's a note. And what does it say? It says, see you next Wednesday. Yeah. So you always see those in his.
Those little Easter eggs. I love those little things. Okay, I got a surprise for you. Well, it's not really a surprise, but a surprise appearance in this movie.
Oh, go ahead.
You know who I'm talking about?
Probably.
So, Smallest Little Part. 1995. You know when they're arguing because Woody Harrelson is tired of being in Wesley Snipes' shadow. It's like, you were the older brother. You got the glory. Marty always treated you just a little bit better.
They shared toothbrushes, you guys.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I wear your coat. You wear my shoes. I use your toothbrush.
Yeah, I wear your shoes.
And then the hood guys come up and try to rob him.
They're like, hold my gun.
Hey, motherfucker, I'm robbing your ass. And so give up your shit.
And they're like, oh, shit.
Your wallet's first, then rings and watches.
And then they turn around with guns and they point it at the robbers.
Yeah.
And then they start, bitch. Then they start arguing at each other because they weren't watching out for the robbers to come for them.
Yeah, Bad boys before bad boys pull bad boys.
And then they turn to each other and they start pointing the guns at each other.
Yeah, fuck you. No, fuck you.
No, fuck you. Don't worry, I'm going to get these shoes for you. What about when you
took my Garth Brooks record?
What about when you took my ice cream grab cube?
Ice cube.
Whatever, it was mine.
I don't know, I'm white. What the hell do I know? Well, Lawrence Gilliard Jr. is the main robber.
Do you know who the other guy is?
No. There's another one?
Yeah. I thought that's who you were going to talk about.
No, I didn't even see the other dude.
I do know that guy, but Flex?
Flex is the other robber?
He's the other robber.
Are you kidding me?
We might have to go back out, but yeah.
Oh, shit. That's
he's
funny.
The one and he's like, okay, so you know how he's studying. Flex is the furthest one.
From oh, the damn.
He's
that's
the first
awesome.
One I noticed, and he's like, we robbing you. Like,
No. I saw Lawrence Gilliard because I see, he's in fucking Waterboy. Yes. He's in Gangs of New York. Yes. He's in The Walking Dead. Well, you see him in The Walking Dead?
Yeah, Bob.
Dude. Yeah, he's bad.
So,
I liked him.
Yes, he is the first
and
dude.
And that gap tooth
dude.
Is, unmistakable.
Yeah, he was the main dude, but Flex.
Him and Michael
he
Strahan.
He was the first one that I noticed. He was the first one I noticed, and I was just like, oh my God.
I didn't even see Flex. Mm-hmm. He must have been out of focus. I don't know.
We'll have to go back. He even had the stupid hair and shit.
No, I believe you. But yeah, I was like, oh shit, motherfucking Lawrence Gilliard doing his thing, getting that early credits going. Because I've seen that in a number of movies.
What you got?
Shit, who you want to talk about?
I'm going to say Woody because we already talked about Wesley Snipes.
We have talked about Wesley Snipes already.
So if you want to learn some stuff about Wesley Snipes, go to our New Jack City episode. We have more information on him on there, which is also a great movie. But so since we already talked about him.
Yeah.
Since we already talked about him, I didn't do much research on him.
I mean, we could talk about him in this movie, which we have been.
Yeah,
but still.
We will.
Woody motherfucking Harrelson. Mm-hmm. I love this man. I think he's fucking fantastic.
Yes.
He doesn't change his voice up a lot, yet he changes characters so much.
Yes.
Like, just because he plays a different character doesn't mean that he has to, like, take on an accent or anything like that.
Nope.
One of my favorite performances of his is Friends with Benefits with Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
Oh, yeah.
Where he plays the art director for GQ magazine, but he's gay. He's a gay guy, and he's like looking at Justin Timberlake like, okay, what are you doing after work? I think we can just tear this shit up. You guys might have some pretty boys in LA, but out here in New York, we can,
He is awesome. I'm just going to say Cheers is one of my all-time favorite TV shows.
Cheers.
I love it.
Where everybody knows your name.
Boom, boom, boom.
And they're always glad you came.
That's my fucking jam. You wanna be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same.
Mm.
You wanna be
where everybody knows your name.
Okay, so other than Cheers, obviously I'm gonna say White Man Can't Jump.
White Man Can't Jump. That's gonna be on the list.
Of course. Maybe March Madness.
Yeah, possibly March Madness.
Cheers, definitely. This movie is absolutely going on.
This movie's up there.
No, yeah. This movie I'm about to name is going on our list.
Oh, shit.
Natural Born Killers.
Oh, fuck. Of course it is.
Fucking love, 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 love it.
Yeah, that's going to be one of your picks.
Yeah. You don't like Natural Born Killers?
It's not my genre. I do like Natural Born Killers. So cool. It's just not my genre.
Yeah, that's definitely my pick.
That's your cup of tea.
Okay, how about Kingpin?
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 I don't think I've even seen it.
With Bill Murray? He's a bowler?
No, I've never seen
it. Oh, okay. Oh my God.
Can't we just do Zombieland? You know they're doing Zombieland 2?
No, I didn't.
They're doing Zombieland 2. Good. Emma Stone is in.
All right, I'm in.
Woody Harrelson is in.
I'm in.
Jesse Eisenberg is in. They're all in.
I'm in.
I'm fucking in.
Too bad. Okay, so Kingpin.
Uh-huh.
Woody Harrelson is like a famous bowler in like the 70s and 80s or whatever, and he's like really good.
Okay.
But one day he and his like fellow bowlers of Bill Murray, and one day they like hustle these guys at a bowling alley, and he gets caught, and they stick his hand in the bowling thing and cuts his hand off. So he has a rubber hand. And so he's always kind of looking for someone who's a really good bowler.
No.
And he runs into this Amish guy who is a good bowler, and so he kind of takes him on the road to. It's hilarious.
That's
so fucking funny.
It's hilarious that they cut his hand off?
Yes!
Fuck no.
That's at the beginning.
Wait a minute, I have a question.
And Bill Murray is just the most awful, groping douchebag, and he actually is a really great bowler.
Okay, I was gonna say, I heard something about a movie where Bill Murray was a bowler.
Yeah.
And they filmed a scene.
And he did like all the strikes himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only that, he did them like 3 or 4 in a row.
Yeah.
When they were expecting to take all fucking day filming the shit. Kingpin. And like the crowd like continued to like get behind Bill Murray.
Yeah.
That's this movie?
That is this movie.
Oh shit.
I'm gonna have to put that on the list because that's like literally one of my fucking favorites.
Fucking Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Now I'm just thinking of Woody Harrelson meeting Bill Murray in Zombieland. Good God, fucking Bill Murray.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to gush.
It's like MB. It's not Bob. Oh, wait. B-M.
It ain't Bob Marley.
It ain't Bob Marley. And the only reason, I know that I'm ruining a fun fact for that movie, but the only reason that Bill Murray.
There's so many.
The only reason why Bill Murray did that movie is because of Woody Harrelson.
Really?
Because they're such good friends.
That's awesome. So Woody Harrelson left a message on Bill Murray's answering machine?
I guess, yeah.
Because you know he don't have an agent.
I know.
You leave a message on his answering machine and eventually he'll call you back. That's so funny.
He also was in 7 Pounds.
He was in 7 Pounds.
Not one of my favorites.
He's the blind guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
Absolutely.
And we cannot forget The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games. I do like him in that
fucking
movie. In that trilogy, excuse me.
It's one big movie because I read all the books like in one time. So.
Did you? You read all the books?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. It was really... And did I see the last Planet of the Apes? I did. And he was the bad guy.
Dude, he did a great job. Mm-hmm. He did a great job.
Yeah. So, and I did not see Solo. Did you see Solo?
Solo.
Like Han Solo?
The Han Solo movie? Mm-hmm. I did see that. He's in that?
This was that.
I don't remember it too well.
But Natural Born Killers, you guys, coming on our list. And Kingpin.
I remember Childish Gambino in that. I don't remember Woody Harrelson.
I need you to watch Kingpin. You'll love it, I promise.
All right. I mean,
so fucking hilarious.
I've heard stories about it already. I'm into it.
So funny. Okay.
You know what? I do remember him now. Absolutely. In Solo, he plays Beckett.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he is kind of... He's opposite of Han Solo,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost like he's taking him under his wing and offering him advice, but at the same time, he's not somebody to be trusted.
Right.
You know? Okay. I do remember him now, that you mentioned all that shit.
So, I'm about to give you some crazy fun facts about it. Unless you have some. Ooh, sorry.
Yeah, damn.
Sorry.
No, give me some fun facts.
Do you have anything on it?
On Woody Harrelson?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes and no. Like I said, I don't write things down anymore.
That's true.
It's all up here.
All right. Well, let me tell you a fun fact about Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
I didn't like that. Fun fact. Okay. So.
Take two, baby.
Take two. Edit the first one out. So Woody, he has done some crazy shit in his time. So in 1983, he was charged with disturbing... disorderly conduct.
Okay.
For dancing in the street and halting traffic. Okay. And that's just like the tip of the iceberg. So after the cops are called, he is put into a van and he later jumped out of the moving police van while laughing maniacally. Like he's fucking Joker.
Jesus.
Okay? And then he finally, the cops get him and he punches one of the arresting officers in the face and he hits the ground. Yeah.
Okay.
And so this is in like 83, so this is before Cheers.
Yeah.
But obviously being white is amazing because...
fucking A, I'm white.
How did that happen? And like, if Wesley Snipes did the same thing, we would have no clue who the fuck Wesley Snipes is.
Nah, he'd be Snipes on cell block D right now. God damn.
But maybe this is because Woody...
That was good.
Yeah. Maybe this is because Woody's dad was charged. His dad's name was Charles Voldy Harrelson. And he was a hitman for the mob.
God damn.
And he got arrested in 1979 for killing a federal judge, John H. Woods Jr.
Holy shit.
Yeah. In San Antonio, Texas. So he comes from like a crazy fucking family.
Yeah, because Woody Harrelson grew up in Midland. I don't know how close that is to San Antonio.
I don't know. Maybe his dad was a Rolling Stone and he just...
Papa was a
wherever he laid his
Stone.
Hat was his home. So,
wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone.
Literally, you guys, that's what we were singing before we started the show.
I love that song.
So,
yeah. Hey, mama.
Is it true what they say that Papa never worked a day in his life?
And mama.
Ooh, I was waiting for it.
I got that cold right now. I can actually hit that low note.
So, yeah, what
are you... Mad talk going around town talking about Papa had three outside children and another wife.
And that ain't right.
Okay,
we're done. So, yeah, Woody came from a fucking... His dad was a hitman for the mob and some God shit.
Damn.
Hitman killing people.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Pops is putting in work.
And like I said...
Then all of a sudden his son grows up to be a fucking 3-time Oscar nominee?
Dude,
shit.
Woody and Wesley, they appeared by this time in the movie, like in the timeline of their careers.
Okay.
They had appeared in Wildcats in 1986 together and White Man Can't Jump in 1992 together. And
only those two?
By this time, yeah. And in those the White Man Can't Jump, Woody was kind of like the same character as this one. As in, he owed money to gangs.
Yeah, he was the degenerate gambler. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, he wasn't a degenerate gambler in White Man Can't Jump. He just mismanaged money. He didn't gamble it, really.
He still owed.
He trusted the wrong people.
Turn your fucking car off! Who the hell?
Hey.
City living.
Talking about the ghetto. Whoa. funky ghetto. We're on that singing tip today. Trying to survive.
Good times.
Trying to stay alive.
Oh,
the ghetto. I'm doing a little bit different. What is that, Warren G? Talking about the ghetto. The ghetto. Funky ghetto. And then comes in there with the first verse.
I thought it was like, give it enough for the city.
Nah, that ain't it.
No, that's what I was thinking. Okay, so okay. That's all I got.
Wesley motherfucking Snipes.
Wesley motherfucking Snipes.
Wesley motherfucking tax evasion Snipes.
Yeah, so we're not going to get into that because we already got into that.
Did we already talk about that?
We sure did.
Okay. It's been a few months. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite Wesley movie?
Blade One?
Frost!
Thanks for Everything to Wong Fu.
We still got to do that.
Yeah, Pride Month, y'all. I've been holding off on it. And New Jack City, I guess, yeah.
New Jack City? All right,
Nino Brown, baby. Passing Nino out turkeys like Nino Brown.
That was definitely his best performance. I'll say it again. Still holds up his best performance. Yeah. Dude, so Wesley's bad. I am a little sad that he never played a boxer in a movie. Now, I know he did do that movie with Vin Rames.
Yeah.
Where he is a imprisoned boxer. So it shows like faint stuff about boxing. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, watch this. Hello, hello.
Smashley in the building.
And Fanny.
And her mom.
Baby, we're almost done.
We are literally almost done. Okay.
So I know that he did, what is that movie called? Why is it spacing in my mind right now?
I don't
now?
Even know what you're talking about.
The movie? Undisputed.
Oh, okay.
Undisputed with Wesley Snipes and Vin Rames. Mm-hmm. And so he plays a character who was supposed to be the greatest boxer of his generation, whatever have you, you know. But it's not, the movie's more about Vin Rames being the reigning champ.
Right.
And who would have won,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I would love to see him actually take on the role of a boxer. Well, I mean, he's up there now. He's up in age.
Too late now.
Maybe a trainer nowadays. Shit, he could be my trainer in a movie.
You could be my body. You could guard my body.
I'm about to film.
Wait, what's it?
I'm about to make a boxing movie. No, hey, Mr. Snipes, if you're interested, the role is yours. You know, no need to audition, obviously. Motherfucking Wesley Snipes.
And I will be your personal assistant.
You leave Mr. Snipes alone.
Nope.
We're going to have to talk about this in the office. Zenobia, we've had some complaints that you're not doing the job.
Is
you're
he
just
complaining?
Following Mr. Snipes around set.
Are people complaining because they're jealous, or is he complaining?
I'm complaining as the actor and director.
I'm not
because the movie ain't getting made.
Okay, everything he needs, I got him.
The fuck is that noise?
Garbage.
Okay.
Earthquake.
Settle it under the
Freaky
table.
Friday.
No, wait. I made that table. It's not sturdy enough. Get it. Get out of the house.
You see Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan. And
oh, that's
Jamie
right.
Lee, and he's like, "Grandpa," and he shakes the table. And he's like, "Earthquake." And so yeah.
Hey, so he says that he was born and raised in the Bronx in this movie.
South
I don't know if
Bronx.
Yeah, in this movie, he tries to say that he came from the Bronx, which is the same place that Jennifer Lopez says that she's from. However, she's actually from the Bronx,
Southside Bronx,
mm-hmm.
And she rides the 6.
Yes, she does.
When I went to New York and I got on the 6 train, I was like, oh my God, am I on the 6? Like J-Lo's 6? My friend was like, yes. Okay, so...
I don't know if he just happened to throw that out there by accident. You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about? When they're out back and they're
well,
dancing.
Well, he is from...
He's from Brooklyn? Orlando.
No.
He's from... He grew up... He was born in Orlando, Florida.
But?
He was raised in the Southside Bronx.
All right. So do they know each other? He's probably older than her. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't
I didn't
know.
Read any of
but
that
the fun fact that I was going to throw out there that I thought you were going to talk about when we were talking about Remember Me and then we rolled into Wesley Snipes is that his apartment in New York was one of the apartments that was destroyed during the terrorist attacks.
That's because I mentioned that on the New Jack City.
Is that where I learned that shit?
You're welcome.
Fun fact from 3 months ago.
I was like, I didn't mention that because I already mentioned that.
I can't remember shit. We have any podcasts we've done?
I remember shit.
We've done like 23 podcasts. I can't remember all these fun facts. We're going to throw shit out there twice.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody skipped over that episode, which I don't know who would.
Well, if they don't know New Jack City.
New Jack City, shit.
You better ask somebody.
Go back and do your homework. Then listen to us.
So, can I ask you a question? Do you have any crazy experiences that's happened on the train?
On the train? none that I can mention.
Okay.
Other than crazy people.
Oh, okay.
Why?
I mean, we're just talking about subways and...
I mean, I've seen a couple fights. I've seen the crazies. I've seen dudes... look like they're trying to take a shit.
Oh, yeah. I've seen shit.
I've seen people that shall remain nameless peeing at the subway in the corner.
I've seen that. I've seen
people. Hey, Subway.
I've seen people.
You know, the Metro don't have bathrooms.
Yeah, I've seen.
You know, you got to pee. You know, you're trying to, you know, make, what's it called? New Year's Eve. You know, trying to get to your destination before the ball drops. Yeah. And it's like, shit, I got to pee.
Yeah.
I got to go bad. We've been drinking.
Yep.
Train's coming. Yep. Shit. All right, cover me.
Make sure no one's looking.
Hold on. It's leaking down to the floor below.
Oh, I peed on my shoe. Like,
I got piss on me.
I've seen it all. I've seen people engaging in sexual acts. I've people smoking weed. One 420, I was on a train and I didn't make it to Golden State Park, Hippie Hill on time, and people were just blowing up the trains.
Of course.
One time I was on the BART in Oakland coming home from my boyfriend's house that I was spending at. And on the way home, some dude sat next to me, pulled the earphones out of my ear, stuck his... I can't believe I'm telling you. I don't think my parents even know this. That he stuck his hand in between my thigh and said, "You are so fine. I want to fuck you." And so I punched him in the face.
I was going to say, what?
And he like gets up and guys on the train get up and they get between us and we're like arguing and then the doors open and he stumbles out and he's like bleeding and the BART cop saw him, stopped the train and made me get off and she's like, "What happened?" I said, "I'm minding my own business trying to go home and this fool grabbed me and
I took my headphones out, stuck his hand between my legs."
And I was like, and my first instinct was to punch him in the face. I'm sorry. I didn't even think about it. I just punched him.
Yeah.
And so she took my ID and his ID and he had a warrant and I didn't. So they let me go.
I got warrants.
Yeah. And took him in.
Black Gallagher got warrants.
Got warrants. Sorry, mom and dad, if I never told you that. But
hey, shit. You didn't do a motherfucking thing wrong.
I
did it.
But I didn't tell them because I knew they'd be like, "You're just away at school."
What was this? Oh, it was in Frisco.
Yeah, so I was on the train in Oakland. Like, it stopped in West Oakland.
I got you.
I was going to San Francisco.
So. Okay. I got you. I can understand that.
Any weird things. So, what else you got?
I ain't got shit.
We done?
Yelling at me.
Okay, so.
Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Money Train.
Money.
It's a good chemistry. 2 hours.
I like their chemistry. All three of their chemistry.
Uh-huh.
Robert Blake is a douchebag, and he does a great job at it.
Uh-huh.
"You fuck with my train, and I'll kill you."
And it was a...
You know what I do like? I like when Woody Harrelson is trying to convince Wesley Snipes of an idea, and Wesley's just like, no, I don't want you to... No, just stop. You know? Because they do that multiple times,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because he's just like, shut the fuck up.
I don't care. Crazy ass.
Want to hear it. But it just felt like the story was just off. I don't know what it was.
A teensy bit.
Yeah.
A teensy bit.
But I'm not going to say it wasn't like I couldn't understand it. It was just...
I mean, it's not a perfect script, but I mean, how many scripts are perfect? It's a good movie. It's a great time. I still enjoy it to this day.
I enjoyed it. And I would definitely give it more than 29%. Yeah.
I would give it a solid B.
Yeah. It was... It's
what's that? 80? That's like an 83%, 85%.
You get to see a sex scene with J-Lo.
Yeah, this is the only time you'll ever see J-Lo's titties.
Wesley Snipes, you know, this is their...
Young.
They're young and supple and prime. And Woody Harrelson has most of his hair still. It's great. You know? It's a good one. I got one fun fact, but I looked for it and I couldn't find it. So maybe if you could find it or somebody else could.
Okay.
M-A-L. Okay, so in the scene where the trains are about to collide. The
train is coming down.
I said, "The train is coming, baby." I've never heard that song until like this movie.
I said, "The train is coming, baby. I
said, the train is coming now. I said, the train is coming." Apparently, you can see a crew member's reflection in the rear window.
Oh,
shit. I couldn't find it. I literally looking for it, and I couldn't see it. Also, I remember reading that, you know, when Woody Harrelson comes, and he's, like, jumping on the bed, and he's like,
You gotta get up in the morning.
Yeah, and Wesley pulls out a gun.
Yeah, he's like, all right.
He's like,
knock that shit off.
He's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, so, say no more.
Apparently, the gun... noise is not the same noise that would come from that gun. Like the when he's cocking it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? It's like they don't think that he really cocked it?
No. I mean, you know how they add sounds. He didn't really cock it.
So whoever sounded like it to me.
The sound people who added the Foley artists, the gun that they have to cock is like more of a shotgun than
I got you.
Handgun sound. But that's the only thing I could really find.
That makes no sense to me because, I mean, it's just a cocking of the gun.
Yeah.
You know, you've got armorers on set. Anytime there's a gun on set, you've got an armorer. The safety props department is on their shit. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, it's just that one gun. Uh-huh. And
but it could
all
be
you have to do is make sure that it's 100% empty.
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like Foley artists, their guns are not ever loaded.
Wait, what?
Like a Foley artist.
What's a Foley artist?
You don't know what a Foley artist is?
No.
Am I saying it right, Smashley? You're talking about a prop person? No, they're the people who do the sound effects after the movie. Oh. So when you're like, you know, you need to sound like you're walking in gravel, they have a bucket of gravel and shoes. And
that's why I'm saying, like, there's no reason why they couldn't have captured that sound on set.
Yeah, so like when there's supposed to be a creak in the door, they have a hinge that they just open. And they do all the sounds. It's called a Foley artist.
Okay.
And they come up with all the sounds. So I'm thinking whoever the Foley artist just grabbed a gun and was like, this sounds good.
I don't see the need for a Foley artist in this particular scene, though, because the fact of the matter is the shot is an over-the-shoulder shot where Woody Harrelson is dirty and then Wesley Snipes is pointing the gun upwards. It's close enough to where the boom guy could get the sound. But whatever, that's neither here nor there.
It's the wrong sound, so I'm thinking it's a Foley artist.
Okay. It's the wrong sound.
And that's IMDb, but they already fucked up already. So.
Production wasting money. Again.
Can I say one part that I don't know if improv, but it's like really funny.
Okay.
It's like when Woody Harrelson is walking away from the apartment and he's like, can I have some money so I can buy you a Christmas present?
Oh, you got any cash on you?
And he's just like, where's your holiday spirit? And he's like, in your pocket.
In your pocket.
And he's like walking away and he's like, you better walk like you know where you are. That walk.
Remember where you at now.
Remember where you're at. And he's like walking and he's like, yeah, yeah. And then like the black guy is trying to walk around him, but he slips on the ice.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, whoa, hey.
Whoa.
Hey.
And he's like, get off me. Like he's just like I think that is so funny. I hope that is like seriously candid.
Or I'm sure it is. Random. I don't think he planned on slipping.
But like, it was just really funny.
An extra is not gonna be good enough to legit slip like that. So that's a happy accident.
I like right that. It makes me laugh every time I watch it. I'm like, that's so real. Just slipped on the ice.
It really is.
You got anything else to say?
I'm out.
We did?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Give me that Z for the people.
Z for the people. So define a charity for this movie. I started thinking about how they were foster brothers.
Uh-huh.
So, I have this foundation called Arc Homes Foster Family Agency. And it was founded in 2003. And they help foster kids to find families that will love them and care for them. So, if you're a family with extra love to give or a person with extra money to give, you could donate your home and time or you could donate your money. And your money goes to getting school supplies and books and getting care packages like toothbrushes and hair brushes and, you know, toiletry stuff. And also giving them gift cards so that they can go get, you know, things that they want, like toys and stuff. So you can help pay because it also helps to pay for their education. And yeah, so go to Arc Homes FFA.org and donate. Look into that because, you know, you never know whose life you could change. Right? I don't know. I thought that was a good one.
I think that's a very good one. Yeah, absolutely.
Good one. So, yeah. That's
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I know you weren't laughing at me.
No, I was thinking about the scene that we're about to do.
I knew that's what you were thinking about. This is like he's not laughing at me.
I'm sorry.
He's reading his lines.
I happened to change the page on my tablet. I was like, oh shit, that's right. We're doing this movie next week.
You guys, this next movie is my pick.
Yes, it is.
It's a good pick.
You're already getting sassy and attitudinal with it. Oh my God.
You can't tell me it's not going to be a fun show.
I think it's going to be a very fun show. I think we should bring on a guest for this episode. We'll see if we can find somebody in the next few days.
Because, like, legitimately, if you haven't seen this movie, Rashad.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is for Rashad. Literally, I picked this movie because I was like, every time I quote something from this movie, which I do often.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
And I'm always like, I told him, I was like, I'm going to put it on the show so you have to watch the movie.
There you go.
So here we go. This one is dedicated to Rashad.
Her brother.
My brother.
Our brother. All right, you ready?
Yeah. Let's do this. Smashley, do you want to roll? Because there is an extra line.
Okay.
She can say the first line. We have a stand-in, you guys. The one, the only, Smashley. She's going to do a line for us. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, go.
Go. Okay.
Well, on you, babe.
You're the star.
You know what? It's not my fault you're, like, in love with me or something.
What?
Oh, no, she did not.
See, that's the thing with you plastics. You think everybody's in love with you when actually everybody hates you. Like Aaron Samuel, for example, he broke up with Regina, and guess what? He still doesn't want you. So why are you still messing with Regina, Caddy? I tell you why. Because you're a mean girl. You're a bitch. And here, you can have this. I want a prize.
And I want my pink shirt back! I want my pink shirt back!
It's Caddy.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Caddy. I'm gonna call you Caddy.
You guys, that's next week.
Oh my God.
You guys, if you don't know what that is, Rashad, you can ask somebody.
Leave Rashad alone. He got the message.
I'm only saying it because I know he listens to this. And he's probably yelling at us like as he's listening. Like,
he's gonna
shut up. I'm watching.
He's going to be like a month behind. All right, you guys. That is our show.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a brand new year, 2019. We're going to have some fun.
Yes.
We hope you guys stick with us.
Please.
New things to come, for sure.
Yes.
We will see you guys next week with an all-new episode. What?
Dang.
What did I
Please
forget?
Please send us your Hollywood Close Encounters, the Lights, Camera, Cocktail,
no S, @gmail.com.
And we also want to hear some movies that you want to do. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Lights, Camera, Cocktail Podcast.
Podcast, that part's important.
That part's important. So, yeah, now you can end the show.
I'm hungry. Out.
Let's go.
This has been another episode of Lights, Camera, Cocktails.
Bye-bye, y'all.
That'll be good.